Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of emotions. We've been discussing emotions for a number of weeks now. We've dealt with some specific emotions, and for the past several weeks, we've been focusing on the emotions of guilt and regret, which are both forms of sorrow. And we have some more things we need to say about that this week before we move on. We're discussing what the Bible says about emotions. We've made the point that if you don't learn to deal with your emotions in a godly manner, then how you feel will dictate your actions rather than what God's Word says. That's where a lot of Christians are. They live according to what they feel. We're not supposed to live according to what we feel. We're to live according to what God says. That doesn't mean it's wrong to feel stuff, but the problem is, emotions don't have all the facts in any situation. Emotions can and often do give us incorrect information, and we are supposed to live our lives directed by the Word of God. Your action should be directed not by what you feel, but by what you believe. Now, sometimes what you feel and what God says in His Word are in perfect harmony, but sometimes they're not. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not." That tells us right there, it is possible to feel anger, and there's nothing sinful about it. It's a natural response to what's going on in your life. Just don't let that anger drive you to sin. What is sin? It's stepping outside of love. If your anger drives you to do something to somebody that you wouldn't want done to you, you've stepped outside of love, because Jesus said we're to treat others the way we want to be treated. Now, that's a whole can of worms for another day, and we will eventually get there. But for the past several weeks, we've been addressing the emotions of sorrow, or the emotion of sorrow, which expresses itself as grief, regret, and guilt. And we want to continue that discussion in this lesson. We devoted a couple of weeks to talking about grief. Grief is aroused, it's a form of sorrow, and it is aroused when someone or something dear to us is lost to us. When we lose someone who's dear to us, either due to death or breakup of a relationship, it produces an emotion called grief. Or when we lose something that is dear to us, that can cause the emotion or stimulate the emotion of grief. Regret and guilt are also forms of sorrow. Those emotions are aroused or stimulated when choices we make produce negative results that we can't change. In other words, something we do causes either directly or indirectly a circumstance that doesn't go the way we want it, and we can't undo what has happened. That can range from bad decisions that hurt ourselves and our others to decisions we presumed were good ones, but they just didn't turn out well for a number of reasons. And then it can also range up to sinful decisions. Grief, guilt, and regret can overwhelm us, and they can turn into despair or hopelessness if they are not dealt with according to the Word of God. That's one of the reasons we need to learn to deal with grief, guilt, and regret. You can't avoid those emotions in this life. You're going to lose people and things that are dear to you, and it's going to stimulate the emotion of grief. That's life, and it's in cursed earth. And we discussed how to deal with that several weeks ago. And you also can't avoid circumstances where you feel guilty or feel regret, because we all do stuff that's wrong and we feel guilty. Or like we said last week, we feel like we've done something wrong. That's part of the curse that's in the earth. You can feel guilty even when you're not guilty. We discussed all that last week, and we've all done stuff we regret. So you must learn how to deal with those things. We quoted that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's actually verse 7, but Paul told the Corinthian church to put a man out of fellowship who was sleeping with his father's wife and would not repent. Put him out of the fellowship of the believers. The goal was that while separated from the body, he would reap consequences for his sin that would bring him to a point of repentance. Well, that's exactly what happened. And Paul wrote back to the Corinthians that they were to forgive this man and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Paul said, don't let him get swallowed up in despair and hopelessness. He's repented, forgive him, encourage him, restore him. If we were to read on, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. All of you have heard that verse, but the context of it is dealing with emotions. It's when our emotions are raging that we are at the weakest and most vulnerable to the lies of the devil. We discussed that last week. Now, regret and guilt both give rise to the if only questions. If only I had done this, or if I only I hadn't done that, and we torture ourselves with these questions. Although this is a completely natural response, we made the point that focusing on the if onlys further feeds the emotional pain of regret and guilt. Looking back at what you've done or should or shouldn't have done, it produces no positive results. You have to understand that, because all of us are vulnerable to this, because all of us have bad circumstances in our lives. All of us have things that we wish we hadn't have done. You know, maybe you wish you'd have been born into a different family. Maybe you wish you'd have tried harder in school. Maybe you wish you wouldn't have divorced your first wife. I mean, all of us have things that we regret. But you can't undo what's done. Looking back at what you've done or what you should or shouldn't have done actually produces no positive results. What's done is done. You can only deal with the situation as it is right now, not as it should have been. It is what it is, but there are ways to deal with it in victory, and that's what we're working on. Everyone experiences sorrow in this life. There are two ways to go through the pain of loss, regret, and guilt. You can either go through the pain of loss, regret, and guilt with hope, or you can go through the pain of loss, regret, and guilt without hope. If I were you, I'd pick A. It's better to go through these things with hope than without hope. Even though we truly experience pain or sorrow over the loss of someone or something dear to us, even though we truly experience pain or sorrow over choices we've made that produce regrettable results, we can have hope in the midst of our pain and sorrow. You need to know that. No matter what has happened, there's hope in the midst of it. Hope is confident expectation of coming good. Hope is confident expectation of coming good. Now, hope won't change your present circumstance, but it will sustain you until the pain of the loss and the regret eases up. Hope won't change your present circumstance, but it will sustain you until the pain of loss and regret eases. Last week we talked about the Apostle Paul, how he established a church in the city of Thessalonica, which is in the northern portion of Greece, on his second missionary journey. He was only there for 3 weeks when severe persecution broke out and he was forced to leave the city. But before Paul departed, he shared with these new Christians that Jesus was returning soon. But because he had to leave so quickly, they didn't have all the details firmly worked out in their mind, and they were unclear as to what would happen to loved ones who die before Jesus returns. They were concerned, will they be included in the kingdom that Jesus is going to establish? They're new Christians. They don't know. So Paul wrote this letter, 1 Thessalonians, in part to deal with some of these questions. He told them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, that we are not like those who sorrow with no hope. They had lost some loved ones in the time since he had left. We're not told how. some possibly to natural causes, some possibly to persecution. So they're dealing with the loss of people they love. And he says to them from the get-go, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, we are not like those who sorrow with no hope. We have hope in the midst of sorrow over loss of someone dear to us. Hope doesn't take away the pain of the loss, but it helps sustain you until you feel better, until the grief eases, which it will with time. Now, I'm not going to read it because we read it last week, but the passage goes on to tell us that Paul told them, he gave them reasons why they can have hope or an expectation of good, even though they've lost people they love. He goes on to tell them, your loved ones are right now with Jesus, and when he comes back, he's going to bring them with him. See, that's what they want to know. What about our loved ones? We've lost them, we're grieving, we're sorrowing. Paul says, you have hope in the midst of your grief. Jesus will, your loved ones are with Jesus right now in heaven, and he will bring them with him when he comes back to this earth. And all of us will be reunited with each other, and our original bodies will be raised from the grave. Your loved ones left their bodies behind when they went to heaven, but when they come with Jesus, their bodies will come out of the grave and be glorified or made alive with the life of God. They'll be reunited with their original physical bodies, glorified, alive with the life of God, and our bodies will be glorified also, and we'll all live together forever. In other words, we have hope. We have hope in the midst of the pain of the loss of our loved one. Freedom from emotional pain caused by loss, guilt, and regret comes from dealing with the situation as it is and as it can become in the hands of Almighty God. That's what we want to really focus on this week. Freedom from the emotional pain of loss, guilt, and regret comes from dealing with the situation as it is and as it can become in the hands of Almighty God. Now, by this statement, we do not mean that the pain of your loss will stop instantly. It will not. But hope in the midst of your pain will keep you from sinking into despair, and it will help keep you from feeding your pain by focusing on the if-onlys and the what-ifs, so that with the passage of time, as you adjust to your loss, the pain will lessen. Have a lot to talk about this week. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison, at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.